Hare Krishna. So there was a very nice verse. This is Tattva Darshan, 2010, Uttan Ekadasi, November 17th. I was saying that we have to surrender. And the Prabhupada cites it. He said, this is the verse for preaching. That we should embody this verse when we go to preach. And one time in a distant past, this was part of our repertoire. Well, the time factor has reduced my repertoire to a paltry few handful of verses. Well, this is from Chaitanya Chandramrita, Prabhupada Ananda Sarasvati. And Prabhupada really liked this verse because this was the mood of devotees when they would surrender to Lord Chaitanya. They would come in this mood of humility. Dante nidhaya trinakam padayor nipatya kritva chakaku shatam etaraham bhavimi. Hey sarava sakalam eva vihaya durad chaitanya chandra charane kurutanuragam. Kurutanuragam. Hey sarava. He said, this is the preacher. The preacher is Dante Nidaya Trinakam Padayor Nipatya. Dante, teeth. Trina, grass. Nidaya, placing. The preacher should take a piece of grass and put it between his teeth. And in other words, he should exhibit the utmost humility when he preaches or approaches someone. And then he should Nipatya. He should fall down. Kaku shatam, kaku. Shatam means 100. Kaku means flatter. Kaku shatam. We should come before the person that we're preaching to and flatter him. Oh, excuse me, sir. Welcome to San Francisco. Where are you coming from? Oh, Chicago. Oh, why are you here? Oh, I'm on a conference. Achar, you're the managing director of some company? No. I'm just a sales representative. No, you look like an important person. No. This and that, and the way you're dressed, it seems, I thought you were the, must be coming to represent the company or something. And the guy's like flying, you know. And then, in whatever way you can, you just keep pumping him up. And then, and he's already holding the book. He's holding the Bhagavatam, because he put it right into his, you know, like that. And he's holding it. Someone passes things out, and he gets it like this, and he holds it. And then you're just talking to him, shake his hand, like you forgot all about the book. So the book is like, we're giving this out to everybody. And then it's like, then it's all about him. Like, where are you coming from? What this and that? And then he gives you find out a little bit about his profession or why he's coming to San Francisco. And then you say so, and then you try to find something about the profession which you can speak about and get him to respond and say, yes, like insurance. I mean, basically, people buy insurance because they're afraid of the future. They're trying to plan for the future in case of calamity. And but what is our future? Did you ever think about it? You know, your future, my future. This is preaching, actually, touching people's hearts with clever, intelligent speech and a compassionate approach. Mr. Bill, did you ever think about the future? Because, you know, you're selling all this insurance, but can you give me an insurance policy that will save me from death? Oh, come on, buddy. I mean, nobody can do that, you know, fire insurance coverage. Fire theft, this, that, you know. I said, but the thing is, this book I'm giving you, this is spiritual insurance. This is a special policy that if you take out this policy, you'll never die again. And you know, you catch the guy's intelligence somehow. And then and convincing, you're friendly, you're convincing, you're clever, you're humorous. And the whole time you're praying like anything. Krishna, please make him take a book, because he's going to hell and he's suffering, and I'm out here representing you, and I'm out here to save this person. So please use me as an instrument to save this person. This is all the inside prayer. So Prabhupada said that this is the, so he flatters him 100 times, and then he says, hey sarva, sakalam eva vihaya durad. Because now he's flattered 100 times. He says, listen, oh, you great personality. And Prabhupada speaks on one tape. Prabhupada liked this verse very much. He tells the verse, sir, you're a very, I see you're a very cultured person. And you're well dressed and very educated, and you're highly qualified. And you must be very successful in your profession. And the guy is saying, yes, highly qualified, yes, well dressed, yes, and very successful, yes, 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 and yeah, yeah. And what do you want, sir? What do you want, my boy? Well, oh, great personality. Just one thing, please forget. Just forget everything you ever learned and put aside everything you ever learned and surrender to the mercy of Chaitanya Chandra. So this is just get kuruta anurag. Just get a taste for the feet of Chaitanya Chandra Charani. Taking a straw between my teeth, Dante. Dante nidhaya trinakam parayor nepatya. We promise it. Dante nidhaya trinakam parayor nepatya. Kritva chakakushatam etadaham bravimi. He sadavasakalam eva vihaya durad. Chaitanya chandra charane kurutanurangam. Chaitanya chanda charane kurutanuragam. Anurag. Anurag for the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Taking a straw between my teeth and falling at your feet 100 times, I humbly submit. Hey sadhava, O great personality, please give up all mundane knowledge that you have learned and just submit yourself at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's Prabhupada's translation. Very nice verse. He's saying that. The course is Chaitanya Chandramrita is full of nectar. And he's trying to explain that anurag, a taste for, and Prabhupada translates anurag as surrender. He said, leave aside vihaya, sakalam. Sakalam means everything you've ever attained, completely, durad, far away. He says, sakalam vihaya durat. It's like almost like Hindi. Vihaya, tyag. Leave aside everything, whatever you brought with you, whatever. It's interesting because Prabhupada was giving the example. You go to the person, you approach them, and you glorify them. You've attained this and you've attained that and wealth and position and good looks and good dress. Okay, the guy says, yes. Okay, throw all that away. Forget all of that. You're nothing. But get your anurag, get intense attachment for Chaitanya, for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. But see that the emphasis here is on humility and flattering him, which means making a person feel good about themselves. And then you make them feel bad about themselves. You make them feel good and they say, well, and by that time they love you. They already love you. And then they'll listen to your message. First you respect all, love all, serve all. Serve all by giving them the message. This is Prabodhananda Saraswati, is Chaitanya Chandramrita. Kaku shatam. Kritva chakaku shatam. Aham bravimi. Humility. So you approach a person with great humility. And nepatya, you fall down at his feet. Padayor nepatya. Oh, great personality, I fall down at your feet. You submit to them. Then you flatter them. You're so great. I'm so insignificant. I'm just a little kid. I don't know anything. You're so great. Yes, yes, yes. What little child, what do you want? Can you forget everything you ever learned? Don't miss the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Beautiful verse of preaching. So we were mentioning how that everyone has heard this verse, Pramanda Brahmate Kon, Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Prabhupada quotes it, and after wandering from universe to universe, Brahmanda, Brahmite means wandering, we finally become fortunate, Bhagyavana Jeev. And our fortune is acquired by doing Agyata Sukriti and Gyata Sukriti. Unknowingly, we do some good deeds in our previous life and we acquire a fortune. Or knowingly, we do good deeds and we get good fortune. And then in this life, that good fortune comes to us in the form of sadhu sangha. Like someone may ask you, oh, can you give a donation? We're collecting donations. They might even say, we're helping the kids. I remember a lot of times in America, the devotees would collect money for temples, for serving the deities or for Janmashtami. And people, you can't go out to people and say, can you give money for Janmashtami? In America, it doesn't really work. So they would pass out candy or flowers or flags or any kind of thing. Stickers. And sometimes they would just go out to raise money. And they would say, oh, sir, you know, we're feeding starving kids in India, or we're helping kids and this and that. Say a lot of different funny things. And the person said, okay, sounds like a good thing. So he'd give $50, $100, and they would bring it back to the temple and buy all kinds of boga and clothes and make nice outfits for Radha and Krishna and offer them a wonderful feast. And this is called Agyata Sukriti. This person, he engaged in bhakti unknowingly. He contributed charity to Krishna, to Bhagavan. So now that will go in his permanent record. And in the next life, Krishna will reciprocate. Oh, you unknowingly helped me, or even knowingly helped me. So now I'm going to help you. God helps those who help themselves. So we knowingly help ourselves by doing good deeds, or we unknowingly help ourselves by being engaged in good deeds, then Krishna will reciprocate by helping us. And how does Krishna help the conditioned soul? By sending his representative, by sending Sri Guru. And we're wandering, wandering, wandering. We meet so many people, we have so many friendships and so many relationships and so many families and so many species. The universe, this is a verse from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This is God. Now we have Bhagavad Gita, we have Gauranga Gita. This is God teaching Rupa Goswami. It's called Rupa Shiksha. And God knows about the jivas more than anybody. Like some foolish people say, oh, you know, you're living on the earth and you'll take birth again on the earth. You know, you're a Punjabi now, you'll be a Punjabi next life. But Lord Krishna, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is saying, Brahmanda Brahmarte Kon. The jivas in this earth planet, in this Brahmanda, next life you can go to another Brahmanda. Like, for example, even in changing metamorphosis or changing bodies in evolution, you can go to another universe. What to speak if you become a siddha? If you attain prema, you'll go to another universe. In this particular universe, the prakat lila of Krishna and Gauranga is not going on. It's going on in another universe. Right? So if you're in this universe, if you become premi, then you'll go to Boma Vrindavan or to Boma Navadvip and that universe and take birth there. And you'll appear there as a son of a brahmana or as a daughter of a gopi. Right? So it's a whole other universe. Zip! I mean, that's a huge intergalactic, we talk about intergalactic travel, it's already going on. So the jeev, the living entity, is traveling from one universe to another, accumulating bhagya, fortune. And then that fortune comes as prasad, the mercy of God. Krishna prasad. Grace, mercy, kindness. And then Krishna prasad gets Guru prasad. Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lakta Bij. Pai. He gets the mercy of Guru and receives the seed of bhakti. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems. Some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. So this is the very famous verse from 19.151, Madhya Lila, Rupa Shiksha of Lord Chaitanya. So the question is often asked, well, what is it? I mean, does the guru give the seed, or does the jiva already have a seed within him? I'm confused. Sometimes we say that every jiva has an individual relationship with God, and now it's dormant or it's covered. And now you're saying that the jiva, the living entity, the devotee, etc., whatever, the bhakta, when he takes diksha, the guru gives a seed. So the guru gives a seed, or we have the seed? What's the answer? What do you say? Only a pure Vaishnava can give the seed of bhakti to the conditioned soul. At the same time, it is said that the seed of bhakti is already within each soul. So how do we reconcile this? The seed of bhakti is present in each soul. That's the first thing we should clear the atmosphere. Because some schools of thought or schools of philosophy, Gaudiya philosophy, say that there's no seed. There's just a potential, but not specific. But there is something more to be given. A seed alone will not suffice. If some water, air, soil, and sun rays are given to that seed, I was discussing this in class the other day, then it will sprout. Do you understand? You said before that bhakti is a sentiment for Radha and Krishna, the special feeling of love and affection for Radha and Krishna. Does this mean that the guru gives this sentiment? Is that correct? Answer. First, the guru gives a seed of that sentiment, meaning the desire to serve Radha and Krishna. Though, this is the important point, the seed is already in the heart of the soul, guru makes an environment for that seed to sprout. He gives something. By water, air, and sun rays. In other words, a seed may be in the ground. You plant a seed in the ground in Alaska or in the winter time. This is a common experience. And the temperature is too cold. The ground soil is too hard. And the air is too dry. And the sun is too weak in the winter time. So the seed is potential. And each seed has a potential to become a specific thing. There's no such thing as an amorphous seed. An apple seed becomes an apple tree. It's not just, there's a seed in the ground. What is that seed? I don't know. It can become anything. A seed is a specific genetic structure of a particular type of tree, plant, etc. Creeper. So now when the temperature increases and the sun's rays increase and the moisture comes and the soil softens and all the environment is correct and the seed sprouts an ankur, and then it goes on to reveal its identity of what it actually is. So the spiritual master gives all these things by speaking about those topics which are favorable and inspiring for bhakti. He gives Harikatha and Diksha, which culminate in a realized relationship with Sri Krishna. So basically he's saying here, and then he'll mention other places, that and other places also, that it is specific, and then we'll hear that point also. I mean, it's so many places. It's in Prabhupada says the same thing. Everyone has a specific relationship. If you desire the mood of the gopis, but that gopi bhav is not in your constitutional form, which means the seed, you will not be able to perform Raghunuga Bhakti, because Raghunuga Bhakti is for Braja Bhav, and Vaidhi Bhakti is for Vaikuntha Bhav. You can obtain only that mood which is in seed in your constitutional form. When you perform bhajan the correct way, following the correct process, you will cross nishta, the stage of steadiness in bhakti, and ruchi, genuine taste for the practices of bhakti, then asakti, natural attachment for Bhagavan, and bhakti will come. And then you will enter the stage of bhav, rati, the sprouting, which is called prem ankur, the sprout of prem, bhav, the sprouting of pure love. At that time, you can realize your transcendental form and mood. Before then, your constitutional mood is not known. So this is basically what he's saying, and what is said elsewhere, is that each living entity, each jiva, has an individual seed or sthayi bhav, a particular mood of love to serve either Vishnu in Vaikuntha or Krishna in Goloka. When one meets a guru and receives diksha, he receives the seva vasana. He receives a seva vritti. And what he's given in the mantra, he's given two things during the mantra. By his harikata and by his giving a mantra diksha, either harinam or gopal mantra, pancharashika mantras, he's awakening the desire to serve Krishna by giving Krishna sambandha. Means, who am I? I am Krishna Das. So he awakens the desire, he awakens and engage, he awakens by his preaching in Harikata, and we read the Gita, and we read the books, and we come to learn that I am a spirit soul, I am part and parcel of God, I am meant to serve God. So that this whole seva concept is what first, this is what's given and nurtured by the Guru. Then in the mantras that the Guru gives, he gives his specific bhav. What is his bhav? What is his realization, understanding of these mantras and of his own constitutional identity, if he understands? And if that disciple is in that same bhav, then he will, by receiving those mantras, then those mantras will bring that bhav to fructification in his heart. Now, we see that different, let's say, jivas with different sthayi bhavas, they come under the shelter of one guru. Some jivas have the sthayi bhav in Vaikuntha or in Braj or in Sakirati or Madhuryarati, which is unknown to the disciple. But he is being trained in seva and all the principles, all the foundational principles, which will cultivate and bring him to the point above which he'll realize what is his individual sarup. And we see in Jiva Dharma that the one guru had two disciples and he was training them and he brought them to the level of bhava by giving them all the tattvas, nam tattva, rasa tattva, prema tattva, engaging them in nam bhajan. And then he inquired, what is your inclination? And they said, my inclination is coming in me to serve Radha and Krishna and Madhura Bhav. And the other one said, the inclination is coming in me to serve Radha and Krishna and Sakya Bhav. So then he guided them. He guided both of them. Because he's a Madhurya Mayi Bhakta. So if you have $100, then you can obviously deal with 25, etc. So the basic fundamental practices are the same. So the guru's role is to bring out the seed to the fruit of prema, which is simply the purest representation of unadulterated seva. Prema is the purest representation of unconditional, unadulterated, unmotivated, pure service to Radha and Krishna, if your seed is in Madhura Rati. So that each individual jiva will understand at a sakti and bhava. Now another interesting point we often heard is that the ultimate controller is Krishna. What's the verse that describes that from Gita? Ishvara sarvabhutanam rid desh arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudhani maya yantra maya yantra. There's a Maya. These are Maya. Three Maya yantras. Actually, there's six of them. Three Mayadevi yantras. But Maya yantra means the body made of material energy. Maya means composed of, made of. Yantra means machine. The living entity is seated. The Lord is seated in the heart of the living entity who is on this body, which is like a machine wandering throughout the universe. So it has been said that because Krishna is in the heart and he knows everything, past, present, and future, and he knows the identity of all his parts and parcels, he knows us better than we do, then he directs us to go to a particular line of thought, a particular line of gurus, a particular sampradaya. So this is the basic idea that each individual jiva has a specific mood of love that Krishna has placed there in the heart. Let's make it, when one hears Harikatha and a greed awakens, it's called Lobamaya Shraddha, his faith, and he's initiated in proper initiation, and he's hearing in parampara, then some intense greed awakens. It's due to last life's cultivation or this life's association. He becomes intensely greedy to worship a particular form of Krishna, or even more specifically to worship the associates of Krishna, a particular bhav. And that may be at the level of anartha nivritti. He's a beginner at the level of anartha nivritti. He doesn't have the slightest idea of his siddhadeya, because that won't even come to be clearly seen at bhava. He's an anartha nivritti. But, and it's told, because of last life's association with Raghunuga devotees and cultivation and hearing, he has intense greed, intense attraction and greed to worship Krishna Balaram. And he can't be swayed from that. And then he cultivates that. And then the guru adjusts that. And then it's fine. He goes along cultivating Sakiras, and he comes to Bhava, and he finds out that he's a Mandri. And that's no problem. He becomes a Priyanarma Sakha, because he may be a Sakha with that mood of the Mandris, assisting them in the Madhurya Bhava, like Sri Damasubal. It's no loss. That's why Lord Chaitanya's fold is for everyone. Even a Ram Bhakta came. Anupama's a Ram Bhakta. He was in the following of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, listen, I'm giving prema to everyone. I'm giving Braja Prema to everyone. And the principal means by which I'm giving Braja Prema is the Maha Mantra. Because it's a Yuga Mantra, Radha Krishna Yuga Mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So listen, Anupam, you chant Hare Krishna. So Anupam was thinking, yes, I have to chant Hare Krishna. But you know, I love Ram, you know. I just love Ram. My whole life I'm just worshipping Ram and chanting Sitaram, Sitaram. And he couldn't sleep the whole night because he thought, if I give up my Ram mantra, then I'll be an offense to Ram, Sita Devi. That's my Ishtadev. But then if I don't carry out the order of Lord Chaitanya and chant Hare Krishna, it'll be an offense to Lord Chaitanya, who's also my Shiksha Guru and my dear friend. So better I die. I can't satisfy Sita and Ram by chanting Hare Krishna, and I can't satisfy Lord Chaitanya by not chanting Hare Krishna. So better I die. So he was perplexed by a dilemma, paradox. So he went to Lord Chaitanya and said, listen, I don't know, I want to give up my life. Oh, Anupam, why is, I think it was Anupam. Why so? Because of this reason. I can't please you, and I might as well, if I can't please you, why should I live? There's nothing, no greater purpose in life than to please you, Lord Chaitanya. That's the perfection of my life. But at the same time, I can't give up chanting Sitaram mantra, because the perfection of life is also to please them. So better I can't please them and I can't please you, so my life is meaningless and worthless, so better, ching, throw it away. Then Lord Chaitanya smiled, he said, Anupam, it is all right. You don't have to chant Hare Krishna, because you're a pure devotee of Sitaram. I was just testing you. So this story is there that, and people have different takes on this story, of course. That's like there with everything. In the philosophy, there's always 10 ways to look at every point. And but generally it's cited where our acharyas say that this shows that the individual's Sthayabhava is fixed and it will just become more fixed. So if you start off hearing all about Radha and Krishna and developing Gopi Bhav and praying to become a mandri of Radharani, and then you say, oh wow, you know, I'm going to Vaikuntha. If someone comes to Lord Chaitanya, they're meant to be with Lord Chaitanya. Because you were attracted to a guru, and what is a guru representing? He's representing some fine aspect of ourself which attracts us. I have a godbrother, he's very much interested in Sakyarati and loving Krishna Balaram as a coward boy in our leelas. So wherever he goes and whoever he speaks to, he talks about that. Sakyarati and the glories of the two brothers. The glories of the two brothers. Kanaivalai. Kanaivalai. Krishna Balaram. Dauji. And so if someone hears his Harikatha and associates with him, he says, oh, I like this guy. I like this guru. I like what he's saying. And this attracts my heart. This rings true to my inner vibration. And why is that happening like that? There's some reason. And this is some fortune that the guru is collecting disciples from last life, or the guru is vibrating the same it's a new guru, but he's vibrating the same vibration which you cultivated in your previous life. It's an ongoing journey to perfection. Maybe the same guru comes life after life, or Krishna sends another guru to carry you on. Never, at all times it's Krishna. Krishna's coming that way.